It's to be a servant of the Lord. It's to be devoted in a greater measure. And so as we think about this prayer challenge that we're walking into, first of all, it's a personal decision. Secondly, drawing a circle is based on God's plan. Everybody that has a computer, put your hand up. If you got a computer, a smart device, a tablet, if you wish you did. Yeah, if you wish you didn't, exactly. Even apples get sick, I know. But drawing a circle is based on God's plan. If you're familiar with a computer, what happens in a computer is every once in a while there's updates. And if you don't use these opportunities to update your computer, eventually, you know what happens? It gets slow. And you do something that was very quick, and all of a sudden, you just press the button for it to do, and it's so slow. And then eventually, you know what happens? It gets stuck. The thing gets stuck. So you do what everybody does. You press your mouse 50 times. Then you hit the enter, you know. Then you unplug it, and you plug it in again. You know what? Our lives are like that. You may have been serving the Lord for 1 week or maybe 53 years. But you know what you need to do? You need to allow God's plan to continually be downloaded into your innermost being. Because if God's plan doesn't get refreshed, if God's plan becomes stagnant, if it doesn't get downloaded, you know what happens? We get slow. And if we just get used to the slowness, you know what happens? We eventually get stuck. And then we need to plug in again. And so drawing a circle, this challenge for this next 40 days, is understanding that it's not based upon my plan. It's based upon God's plan. And here's the great news about God's plan. Now, this was spoken to the children of Israel, but it's certainly true to us who are in Christ Jesus. I know the plans I have for you, God says. They're plans for good. God's plans are not for a disaster in your life. God's plan are to give you a future and a hope. And here's a wonderful challenge over these next 40 days. In these days, when you pray, I will listen. As you respond to God and say, Lord, I want to know more about your plan, he's going to listen. And that plan will become, it'll become more clear in your heart and clear in your life day by day. And the promise of God is this for you, that as you prioritize God, God will provide for you as you prioritize him in your life. There was some things that people were worrying about in Bible times when Jesus was here, and they're things that people worry about today. They were wondering, what will we eat? What will we wear? How will we get clothing? How will we provide for our futures? People were worried about these things. And Jesus said, don't you understand that everybody in the world worries about this stuff? These things, in fact, dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Where am I going to go? How am I going to clothe myself? How am I going to get there? What am I going to wear? You know, how am I going to provide for me? How am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to provide for me? That's what dominates the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. So seek ye first. Seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Not only will God provide as you prioritize him, but God will give you power as you follow his plan. You know, when we get outside of the plan and purpose of God for our lives, we may find ourselves with a sense of powerlessness. But as we come into the plan that God has created us for, he will give us power as we follow his plan. And Paul prays a beautiful prayer that we could actually pray for one another over these 40 days as we individually draw a circle around our lives. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources. Now, here's what's true about myself and about each one of us in this room. We only have so many resources to pull from. There's a limited amount of stuff that we can give to others and give in service. But God is not like us. He has glorious, unlimited resources. I pray that from these glorious, unlimited resources, that he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit, Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. As you trust in him, your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. As you follow God's plan, you're going to receive power to do the things that God has created you to do. And God has given you, God gives the person of the Holy Spirit to lead us. I must confess that I've never heard the audible voice of God. I'm open to it. I've never seen like God write words in front of my eyeballs, and I'm open to that too. But I must confess this as well. I believe that the Lord leads me every day. I believe that every day that I hear his voice. I hear his voice through his word. I hear his voice through prayer. But I just believe that every day in my life, as I'm walking in obedience before him, he leads me, he guides me, he directs me. I mean, is that not his promise? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. And what does a shepherd do? He leads, he guides, he directs, he provides. You see, it's God who tells you whether to go to the right or whether to go to the left. It's God who tells you whether to speak right now or whether to be silent. It's God who tells you whether to say yes or whether to say no as you learn to listen to his voice. Jesus promised that he would give us the person of the Holy Spirit to be living inside of us. But when the Father sends the advocate, my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and he will remind you of everything that I have told you. And so I want to encourage you over these next 40 days to allow the leading of God to grow in your heart and to grow in your life. Because as you follow after his leading, you will be experiencing what Jesus referred to as life and life more abundantly. The third thing that drawing a circle does is drawing a circle releases God's promises. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes, and through Christ our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. Jesus Christ came. It says that he who was rich became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. And by his perfect sinless life, by his sacrifice on the cross, by his resurrection from the dead, he opened for us who trust in him a storehouse of promises. And all of God's promises for us are yes and amen. However, unless we come into that space where we first of all understand what the promise is, if there's a whole bunch of promises that have been fulfilled with a yes, first of all, we need to understand what they are. And then when we understand what they are, we need to begin to believe God for those things and receive those things by faith. So drawing a circle releases God's promises. And acting on these promises grows us into the image of Jesus Christ. When you see a promise of God that you know Christ has paid for to give to you, when you act on that promise, it grows us into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, when I was looking for the images for this particular point yesterday, I wanted to get an old-looking Bible. Because sometimes we can have our Bibles. Oh, I don't have it on my... Does anybody have a smart thing with you? There we go. Praise God. You know, sometimes we can have our Bible right here. We can have our Bible on our smart device, on our phone, and we can open up our Bible and we can pull up 10 different versions. We can answer an email with a pastor's preaching and look like we're looking at our Bible. Seriously. Now I have purchased again a limited number of Bibles. I think it's a good idea when you come to church to shut this off. And I know you can have 10 versions of the Bible, but you don't need 10. You only need one when you're here. Just one. And when you shut this off, do you know what happens? You're not going to feel the buzz in your pocket. Now, if you're in a role like where you can't shut it off, hey, I understand that. But I'll tell you something. The enemy will do anything that he can to rob you from the promises. I'm going to throw this. I'm not. I would never do that. Here. Good catch. Give that man a hand. Listen. The enemy will do anything that he can to rob these promises of God from you. So I wanted to get an old-looking Bible in my image because I wanted you to understand that these promises that God has for you, they are eternal promises that come from heaven. And they are the promises that were made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And these are the promises that we need to grab a hold of and believe if we're going to grow into the image of Jesus Christ. And because of his glory and excellence, he's given us these great and precious promises. Look at what this verse says. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature. Do you know what I read from that? The more promises that you obtain by faith and trust God for, the more you're going to share in his divine nature. And here's the great news. These promises enable you to escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Can I ask you a question? Is there anyone here that battles with human desires? Wow, there's just me, one of the pastors. How many of you here battle with human desires? Like all of our hands are up, right? We all battle with human desires, but when we act on the promises of God, we share in God's divine nature, we become more like Christ, and those human desires that want to steal God's plan and purpose away from us, they fall by the wayside, praise God. And accepting his invitation, do you know what it does? Accepting his invitation for these promises, it points others to the grace giver. When you accept the invitation of God to actually make the promises of God active in your life, it points others to the grace giver. I don't know if you've ever found this pattern in your life, but I've noticed that this pattern is also in the Bible, which has been an encouragement to me when sometimes I've experienced this. Sometimes in your life, you may come through a season where you have an answer to prayer, where God comes through in a remarkable way, and you kind of feel like you're on top of the mountain. Like God is just answering your prayers and everything is going good and you feel great. And then all of a sudden, an attack comes. It might be an attack from the enemy. It might just be an attack from your human nature where all of a sudden, a moment ago, you were feeling so close to God and now you're feeling like, God, I don't even know if I can carry on anymore. Lord, I don't know if I can take one more thing. Does that ever happen to anybody? Well, here's the great news. When you take action on these promises, and when you accept the invitation of Jesus, this is what Jesus says. Maybe you're in that place today. Here's what Jesus says. Come unto me. Come unto me, all of you. You see, God can take it for the whole world. That's why Jesus came. He's the Lamb who came to take away the sins of the whole world. Come to me, all of you who are weary, all of you who carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Would you please say that word, rest? Say it again and say it one more time. I promise you, according to the promise of God, that if you find yourself at any moment in the morning or in the late night hour or at any time of the day overwhelmed as a follower of Jesus, and if you're just saying, I can't take one more thing, and if you just say, rest. I'm not talking about this as a mantra or some kind of positive thinking. I'm talking about this as in relation to this promise of God. If you just say rest and you say, I promise you that he'll give you his grace. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find, would you say it one more time with me, please? So I challenge you this week. When you come against something and you're feeling that great burden, just do it. Just say rest, and God will administer his grace to your heart. You will find rest for your souls. If you believe that, say amen. You see, drawing a circle releases God's promises into your life. And now here's the marathon truth. Drawing a circle requires perseverance. Drawing a circle requires perseverance. You know what perseverance means? It means patient endurance of hardship. It means persisting in a state of enterprise in spite of difficulties and discouragement. But drawing a circle requires perseverance. I like this, believe with persevere, because Because do you know what I see in that word believe? I see a big I in the middle. I believe. I believe. And you know what you need to do, friends, when you find yourself in that desert place or find yourself in the middle of the storm or find yourself where you're just thinking, I'm not sure that I can carry on. You just need to understand that drawing a circle requires perseverance. It helps us to think of the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know what one of the fruit of the Spirit is? Long suffering. How many of you here like to suffer for a long time? But when you understand that long suffering is a fruit of the Spirit, then when you find yourself in that place, you just draw a circle and you say, God, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to trust you. I will not be moved. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. And sometimes you just feel like, God, I've grown enough. I've suffered long enough. I'm patient enough, God. But when you find yourself in that spot where you feel that way, understand that when your faith is tested and you when you call upon him and you go rest, and when he gives you that grace, do you know what's happening? Your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and you'll be complete, needing nothing. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, long suffering. Don't be discouraged at the trial that you may be going through, because drawing a circle requires perseverance. And so over these next 40 days, I know that you already pray, but can I encourage you, find a specific place to pray. Maybe you already have a specific place, and if you don't, you can start today. Find a specific place to pray over these next 40 days. You'll remember in the Last Supper that Jesus was feeling overwhelmed at the cross that was before him. And so after supper, he took his disciples with him and he said, would you guys come and pray with me, please? And he went somewhere to pray. Where did he go? Where did Jesus go to pray after the Last Supper? Right, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And look at what it says about that prayer time. Then accompanied by his disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual. Would you please say usual? And circle that in your notes. And so what we're looking for as we draw a circle over our own lives in these next 40 days is a usual daily place of prayer. And so if you already have a usual daily place of prayer, what we're looking to ask you to do is to say, God, I'm going to increase my usual. I'm going to add something to my usual. And so Jesus left the upstairs room and he went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There were places that Jesus went to at different times. There was a time that he went on top of a mountain. And you might remember this. He went on top of that mountain and he said this to his disciples. He said, guys, I want you to get into the boat and go to the other side of the lake. Have you ever thought that the disciples might have wondered? Wait a minute, like we're following Jesus. It's getting to be later here in the afternoon. And he's asking us to get in the boat and go to the other side of the... Did you ever think that any of the disciples might have said, okay, how is Jesus going to get there? Like we have the boat. So I don't know whether you asked that question or not, but what I do know is this. As Jesus was on the mountain, he had told them to go to the other side of the lake. And it says that later in the evening, after the midnight hour, a storm came up. And somewhere around between 2 and 3, Jesus saw them on the water. He looked out from the mountain, and Jesus saw that they were struggling against the heavy waves and against the heavy winds. In fact, the disciples were struggling so much that they thought they were going to die. And so Jesus started walking to them on the water. So you picture Jesus back there on the mountain, sees what they're going through. He gets onto the water and he starts walking. And at some point, somebody who's bailing out the boat, thinking that it's going to sink, says, hey, what's that? And they see back there what is that? Is that a bird? Is that a dolphin like that doesn't go back down? Or is that a person? And you know, Jesus, he comes closer, but he kind of stays out to the side of the boat. Like, not that close. And they're wondering, is that Jesus? But he comes up to the back of the boat, and then he goes to the middle of the boat, and then he goes past the boat. And I think some of them are thinking, I think that's Jesus, but where is he going? Because here's what the scripture says. He saw them struggling. He came to them walking on the water. And scripture says he was about to pass them by. You know where I think he was going? I think he was going to the other side. Jesus told them, get in the boat and go to the... That's what I think he was doing. Jesus, is that you? Peter said, yeah. Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come to you on the water, Lord, because I don't like where you're going. Come to me. And the disciples said, are you crazy? Peter gets out of the boat. You know, he kept his eyes on the Lord. He walked on the water. But here's the point now. Jesus comes back into the boat. He says, peace, be still. The disciples are terrified. They say, who is this guy? Even the wind and the waves obey him. But then what did Jesus say to his disciples? Where's your faith? I told you to go to the other side. I want you to be reminded that as you're walking through the wind and the waves and the storm, and as you're feeling overwhelmed and you're wondering, is that Jesus back there? Is that Jesus out there? Is he calling me to go over there? Yes, he is. Jesus is going to take you through to the other side. In fact, he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. And so over these next 40 days, I want to encourage you, even if you pray 4 hours a day, commit to be praying 4.5. Find a specific place to pray more over these next 40 days and follow the pattern of Jesus as you grow in prayer. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and he went out to an isolated place to pray. When they found him, they said, Lord, everyone is looking for you. Jesus had this regular pattern of prayer. I was just thanking God for this past weekend. I want to say thank you to everybody that came over the week of prayer. I think it's such a good habit that we have in our congregation to begin each week with a week of prayer. And we prayed on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday night. And thanks to those that came out. And I mean, these were really valuable times. And I was lying in bed on Friday, and Wanda already was up, and I'd already been up, and I was just praying. I was thanking the Lord for the prayer meetings that we'd had, and I was praying for our 11-7 that was happening on Friday night. And I got up out of my bed, and can you guess what was on my digital clock? The numbers that I saw on my digital clock, the moment that I looked at my digital clock beside my bed, can you guess what those numbers were? They were these numbers. 7-11. And I just said, thank you, Lord. See, in my very simple faith, like I'm just being honest with you. I didn't peak like 6:59. I'm not getting up. 7:03, not getting up. 7:06, not getting up. At 7:10, I can almost get up and tell this story, you know. I got up, I looked at the clock, and it was 7:11. And in my very simple faith, I just said, you know, I just think God's just saying this to me and to us. You're in the right place, you're doing the right thing, and you're doing it at the right time. So I told all the pastors, because we were preparing for our all-night prayer meeting, and I want to thank those of you that came to our all-night prayer meeting. We had between 60 and 70 people come, and not all stay, but between 60 and 70 people came, and we prayed from 11 to 7. So when I saw this 7-11, I was just thinking of the 11-7. And you might remember, last week I said to you, every time that you see the store 7-11, think of 11-7, right. And so I was just thanking the Lord for our 11-7. I was sharing with our different pastors. But when I was sharing it with Pastor Kyle, when he was in my office, there was something I didn't even think of. He said, well, you know what, Pastor Doug, don't you realize that Monday to Friday is 7 to 11, like January 7 to January 11? And I just thought, no, I didn't realize that, actually. But I didn't think of it. I was thinking of the 11-7. But no matter how you slice it, I just think that God was smiling on us as a congregation and saying, this is the place you need to be. Listen to me. You're in this house this morning. You're in the right place at the right time. There's going to be life group leaders that are already waiting for you in the auditorium when we dismiss this. You might have been thinking, well, I don't know if I should. Yes, you should. Yes, you should. Find a group and commit over these next 40 days to draw a circle around your life. Follow the pattern of Jesus as we grow in prayer. And you know what life groups are really about? They're about including other people in your habit of prayer. I mean, it's good to pray to Jesus. That's good. But do you know that the Bible says one will put 1,000 to flight and two will put 10,000 to flight? Wow, what will a group of 8 to 10 do? What will a group of 10 to 12 do? What will it happen when we get on the same page and when we share with one another and when we habitually pray together and we increase our prayer circle? What will God do? Let's see. Let's see what he's going to do. If two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, Jesus said, my Father in heaven will do it for you. And there are some of you in the congregation, and already we're agreeing with you in the place of prayer. You know who I'm talking to. Already we're standing with you in your hour of testing, and we're going to persevere with you, and we're going to believe with you, and we're going to stand with you. There are some of you here, and you're believing God for a daughter or a son or a husband or someone in your family to come back to the Lord. We're going to stand with you. We're going to agree together with you. We're going to persevere until the answer comes. And so really, what we're providing for you individually as a body, and what we're asking you is that over these next 40 days, that you would establish a daily practice of prayer. God's done everything he can to open the door for us. When Jesus, before he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. And the curtain was torn from top to bottom. That curtain that separated us from the very presence of God. And now, as Pastor Kyle read earlier, we can come boldly into the throne room of grace and we'll receive mercy and his grace when we need it the most. So here's the scripture. This catches us all. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you truly prosper and succeed in all that you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you for a brand new year. And it is true that at New Year's moments, we make resolutions, and usually those resolutions evaporate by the end of the second week of January, which is just about now. But I remember, Lord, as that lady said to me, so Doug, have you made any resolutions this year? And I said, yeah, I have. And actually, I told a lot of people, I want to be more like Jesus. Father, that's a resolution that we made when we invited you into our heart to be Lord and Savior of our lives. And so I pray on this Sunday morning, Lord, for anybody that's here that hasn't simply said yes to Jesus yet. God, you love the world so much that you sent your one and your only Son, so that everybody who believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life, would receive the gift of everlasting life. So, Father, I pray for anybody that's here this morning that hasn't said yes to that gift. Lord, there's a rich, there's an abundant life. There's forgiveness of sins. There's being adopted into the family of God as a son of God, as a daughter of God. Not because of what we have done, because you loved us long before we ever loved you. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So I'm just talking today to people that might be here, and I'm so glad that you are, but you just haven't said yes to Jesus. You know that you need him. You just haven't received the gift of salvation. But today, as we're, as a congregation, individually drawing a circle around our lives, you're realizing something. Individually, I need to receive Jesus. Individually, I finally need to say yes to God. Individually, I need to say, Lord, I need you. Would you forgive me of my sins? Lord, I need you. Would you change my life? God, I'm broken. I need you to fix my brokenness. Lord, I've done things that I need to be cleansed for. Thank you for sending Jesus for me. You realize that today, you need to receive Christ. That, my friend, is the most important realization you will ever make. If you're here and you're in that spot, and today you want to receive Christ, would you lift up your hand? I want to pray with you. How many are here and you'd say, yes, I would like to receive Christ. I need to include him as my Lord and my Savior. Yes, sir, thank you. How many others would say, yes, I want to receive Christ. I want to include him as my Lord and my Savior in my life. Just slip your hand up so that I can see it, so that I can pray with you, please. Thank you. You can put your hand down. And here's the prayer. It's not written in a book. It's written on your heart. The prayer goes something like this. God, I need you. I understand why Jesus came. He came and he died for my sin. And Lord, I need you to come into my heart. Not a religion. I don't need a religion. I need a living relationship with the one true living God. So Jesus, right now I open up my heart to you. Right now I open up my heart to you and I'm asking you to forgive me. Right now, Lord Jesus, I open up my heart to you. I invite you to come in. Would you be Lord of my life? Would you be the master? Would you be the boss? Would you lead me in your pathway? Now, I've got good news for you. If you prayed that prayer, your life will never, ever, ever be the same. Because you're not praying to a man. You're praying to the living Christ. Thank you, Lord, for each one that has received you on this day. And now, Lord, for each one of us, would you help us by grace to accept this invitation as we draw a circle of prayer over our hearts and over our lives. And no matter how long we have known you, we know that we still need to pray this prayer, that you would open the eyes of our heart, Lord. We want to see you. We want to.